Sometimes the only way that we can deal with things is by knowing that they are happening according to plan. When we know that everything is going exactly as it's supposed to go, then it's a little easier to deal with it. It's a little easier to face whatever we're going through. But that's not so easy when it comes to the hard things of this world, because they never really seem to have a plan. It seems so chaotic, so random, as if anything could happen, and we, as a result, wonder what it is that is going to happen. We're never really quite sure. But God tells us in our reading for today that it is no accident. Everything happens according to the will of God. Everything happens according to that will, even if we can't see how or why. So in the previous chapter then, in Revelation chapter 5, John saw a vision of a scroll sealed with seven seals. That scroll, of course, is the will of God, his plans for the future. And that scroll was handed to the Lamb, because Jesus alone is worthy to open the scroll and to put into action the will of God. And now in this chapter, Jesus begins to open that scroll. And as each of the seals breaks open, something happens in the world at the same time. So the Lamb breaks open the first seal, we are told. And John sees a vision of a great horseman. Verse 2 of our reading says, "And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer." Now, of course, we understand that this is supposed to be a symbol, but we might still ask, well, why is it a horseman? What difference does that make? Why is that so important? The reason for that, Christians, is because it looks back to the book of Zechariah, where the prophet Zechariah also saw a vision of a horseman going throughout the earth. We're told in Zechariah chapter 1, "I saw in the night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees in the glen, and behind him were red, sorrel, and white horses." So in the book of Zechariah, then, the horsemen were sent by God to punish the nations that had attacked Israel. They were sent as a judgment upon all of the enemies of his people. And now in the book of Revelation, they are doing the same thing, but this time their judgment is being carried out on the entire world. So the first horseman then is a symbol of war and everything that comes along with it. The horse is white because white is the color of victory. I mean, just think of how many times we've heard of white robes, for example, being given to the saints as a symbol of their victory. White is the same way here. And he's given a crown to put on his head because that crown is a victory wreath. He is one who has conquered, one who has overcome. And he goes out conquering and to conquer because he wages war in the earth. But the most terrifying thing about this rider, Christians, is the fact that he has a bow. Because a mounted archer like this, an archer on horseback, was a very terrifying thing to the Romans. Because among the Romans, they never had archers on horseback. That's just not how they fought. But in the Far East, in places like Persia and Parthia, they had horsemen with archers on them. And that was always very dangerous to the Romans because they never were able to really conquer that area. They never held it for very long, and they were always warring against those peoples. And those warriors had also defeated the Romans on a couple of important battles. So these mounted archers then were a kind of boogeyman to the Romans. They looked at them the same way that we look at terrorists today. So this horseman then becomes a symbol of war, but not just war. He He also is a symbol of everything that goes along with it. The destruction, the sense of helplessness, even the very threat of war itself. It is all contained within this horseman. So when we think of our world today, and we look at the wars which are going on, or even the threat of war with a place like China or Russia, we can see that the first horseman is still riding throughout the world, and he will do so until the end of all things. The Lamb breaks open the second seal, and John sees the second horseman ride forth. We're told in verse 4, "And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth, so that people should slay one another. And he was given a great sword." This horse is red because it's the color of blood. And he is permitted to take peace from the earth because this rider symbolizes troubles within a nation. If the first horseman was a symbol of war without, from outside, this horseman is a symbol of war within. Turmoils and riots and fighting, even civil war, it's all contained in this. And when we look at our world today, and we see all the tensions between people, even breaking out into violence, and not just in the cities, but throughout the entire nation, we can see that the second horseman also is still riding, and he will do so until the end of all things. The Lamb breaks open the third seal, and John sees the third horseman ride forth. We're told in verse 5, "When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come.' And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in his hand." This horse is black because black is the color of mourning, the color of troubles, the color of hard times. And the rider holds a scale in his hand because it's a balancing scale, the kind of thing that you would use to buy and to sell. Because this rider is a symbol of economic problems, of financial troubles among people. In fact, we're told in the following verse, verse 6, "And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine.'" The voice being in the midst of the four living creatures means that it's most likely the voice of God saying what is to come. But it is a picture of very hard times indeed. Because the word translated here as a quart is the measurement of the amount that a man would eat in a single day. Basically, his daily ration. That would be everything that he would need to live. Wheat, of course, was a good grain. It was a better grain, and that's why it was more expensive. Barley was the food of a poor man, and that's why it was 3 quarts to 1. But a denarius, on the other hand, is how much somebody made in a single day, how much he could expect to make by working one day. So saying a quart of wheat for a denarius means that this man would have to work all day just to have enough money to buy the food that he would need to survive that day and have nothing left over. And I'm not even talking about his family or anyone else that he would need to support. A very difficult time indeed. In fact, this food should normally have cost him nowhere near a whole denarius. We're looking at inflation 8 to 10 times what it should be. And how can anybody live in a situation like that? Yes, the oil and the wine are not touched because God limits how severe it is, but that's still a very difficult way to live. And so when we see the economic problems in our own time, the inflation and prices going up, food prices seeming to be out of control even now, we can see the third horseman still rides through the world and will do so until the end of all things. But the Lamb breaks open the fourth seal, and the fourth horseman rides out. We're told in verse 8, And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. This horse is pale, or more literally, pale green, the color of sickness and death. And death is its rider. And Hades, the place of the dead, follows after. And both of them together are given a limited authority over the earth to kill some of the people of the earth, because they are a symbol of all the other kinds of death and destruction that we see in the world, whether by the sword or by famine or disease or even by wild beasts. Any other kind of terrible thing that happens is all contained under this symbol. And so when we see these kinds of things happening, we can know that the fourth rider still rides through the world and will do so until the end of all things. Now, if we take the four horsemen together, it can be a very troubling picture, something hard for us to deal with. But it also sounds so very familiar, doesn't it? It's almost as if John had turned on the television and was watching the evening news as he wrote this part of the book of Revelation. Because how many stories do you hear on the news of war? Just think of the war that's still going on between Russia and the Ukraine. How many stories do you hear of civil wars, like the one that's still going on in Ethiopia? Or even just the troubles in our nation, sometimes breaking out into riots, the way that people just can't seem to get along. How many times do you hear stories of economic problems, of inflation, and all the troubles that we've been going through? And how many times do you even hear stories of just death and destruction? Shootings and bombings and disease and even the occasional wild animal that kills somebody in a place like Florida. It seems like this is all that the news ever talks about. It seems like this is all that we ever hear about. These kinds of things showing that the four horsemen are still riding through the world. But what are we supposed to do with that? How can we actually deal with it? It seems out of control. It seems as if everything is just happening without rhyme or reason, and we're really not quite sure what's going to happen next. And because it seems so out of control, it's so easy to become discouraged, Christians, to think that the future is just always going to be this way, that it'll never get any better, and we can't expect anything to change. Same thing, different day. What are we supposed to do? But Christians, God tells us that it is not out of control. God is in control, because it is the Lamb who breaks open the seals. The seals do not break themselves open. It is Jesus who breaks open each one. Jesus sends these things into the world in order to fulfill his purposes. And I know that's really hard for us to understand. But if we want to understand it, we have to ask why. Why does God send these things? Why does God let these things come into the world? Well, for two reasons: to judge and to purify. God certainly sends these things as a judgment upon the unbelieving world, especially for attacking his church. Whenever we see these things happen, we can know that God is bringing his judgment down. Now, whether he's sending that directly, the way that he does with things like war, or whether he's just allowing people to go on the way that they're going, he hands them over to their sins so that they just suffer the consequences of their own actions. Either way, it is God who is sending these things into the world. But on the other hand, Christians, these things are also meant to purify those who love Him. They are meant to lead us away from the world, to lead us back towards God. I think the best way to understand this is to compare it to something like fire. Because think of a fire. A fire destroys the fuel that you give it. If I put wood into a fire, the only thing that's going to be left is going to be ashes and maybe a few chunks left over. Fire is certainly destructive. But that same fire can be used for good. It can be used to cook. It can be used to heat. It could even be used to purify things like metal. The same fire does both things at the same time. And so it is with the things that God does. He sends them as judgment, yes, but He also sends them for the good of His people. War is a terrible thing. Make no mistake about it. And it is certainly a judgment upon a nation. But through war, God calls us to come back to Him, to turn away from this world and to trust in Him more and more. And inflation is also a terrible thing, Christians. And it's certainly a judgment, especially on the financial sins of a nation. But at the same time, through it, God calls us to not trust in the world, but to trust in Him more and more. Because ultimately, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. All things, not some things, all things, not just the good things. All things work for good for those who love God. And when we know that, Christians, we will be able to face whatever comes because we will know that God is in control. So remember, Christians, even the hard things that come from the hand of God are meant for our good. And these things are not out of control. God is taking us step by step until the last day, when He will bring all of these things to an end and finally bring us to Himself in heaven. So above all, trust Him and be patient, because God is in control. Let us pray. Almighty Master, who rules over all our ways and over what is to come, teach us to always trust in You, knowing that even if You send us sadness, it will end in gladness, because You are our loving Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.